morning. Welcome to Fork Union Baptist Church at your home. As you know, we've been doing this for a while amid the COVID-19 crisis that we have, but we are honored that you could join us this morning, and I'm honored to have been asked to deliver a message this morning. So thank you so much for tuning in, and may God be with you through this message and through these times. I'd like to open up with a prayer, so if you will, bow with me. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the ability to hear a message, Lord, even though we can't necessarily gather together in your name. We know, Lord, that you're still with us. We pray your blessing on this service. We pray your blessing on this day. We know, Lord, that you made it and that you are in it. Amen. I'd like to open with a song, and so I'll do that. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. 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 Father God, we praise you during this time. We lift up your name, Lord, and we worship you. We ask, Lord, that this message that we bring would be pleasing to you, Lord, that it reach our hearts, and Lord, that you use it for your kingdom. Use me as I speak now, Lord, and reach those ears that will listen. In Christ's name, amen. This morning's scripture can be found in the book of Luke, chapter 15. We'll read from verses 20 through 24, but before we do that, this will find us in the middle of the story of the prodigal son. And so let me kind of lead you up to that point. Jesus was speaking to the crowds, and he began telling a story of a man with two sons. The youngest requested his inheritance so that he could leave home and begin his life on his own. The young son squandered his money and was left with nothing when famine struck. Realizing his father's hired hands were better off than he was, he decided to return home to beg for work as a hired hand. And here is where we find him returning home. Turn with me, Luke 15, verse 20. So he set off and went to his father. But when he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. In this story, Jesus paints a picture of a father's love. A father who first loved enough to build and keep wealth for his children to inherit, who loved enough to give that inheritance to his child to begin a life, but most importantly, who loved enough to welcome an undeserving child back despite having sinned against him. A father, now, when I say father, I say it synonymous with the word parent. I'm not excluding mothers. We just celebrated Mother's Day. I am talking about a father's role as a parent, so a parent's role. But a father or a parent creates his child, protects his child, and provides for his child. A father raises his child, disciplines his child, and teaches him what is right. Last week, we celebrated Mother's Day. And in June, we celebrate Father's Day because of the value we place on our parents, the love we feel for them and the love they have for us. To put it simply, without our parents, we wouldn't be here. As children, we relied on our parents. For some of us, they were our biological parents. For others, others stepped in and took that role. As adults, many times we still look to our parents for advice and help. And for some whose parents have passed on, we wish we could. I value the relationship I have with my parents. And as a parent, I cherish the relationship that I have with my children. My greatest desires are for my children. And my greatest fears are for them as well. And I hope they cherish our relationship too. I can't imagine yet how it would feel for one of my boys to tell me to give them half of everything I own so that they can move out. Thankfully, they're too young for that, mostly because I don't have anything built up such as an inheritance to give them so that they could go out and start a life with it anyway. But I do understand the love of a father that drove a man to run down the road with open arms, throw them around his returning son, and demand the household throw the celebration of celebrations for his return. Although it's an important point of view, I don't think Jesus shared the story to tell fathers how to feel about their children, but instead to show our broken relationship with God and his desire for us to return to him. Not as people returning to a God, but as children returning to their father. In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And begins it not by addressing the Almighty Creator as God or my Lord, or by calling him just his own Father. He didn't say, "My Father." Instead, he taught us to pray, "Our Father." Our Father, not my Father, not Daddy to me and God to you. Our Father, a shared, loving Creator, protector, provider, and God. When I was in high school, I had a rare opportunity to be taught three different classes by my own dad. And he was dad to me, and he was Mr. Summers to everyone else. All right, really, I had to call him Mr. Summers sometimes too, because after 20 plus years of teaching, he wasn't accustomed to hearing dad in the classroom, and he wouldn't always turn around if I called him that. One time I called him Mr. Dad, and he turned halfway around. But all of that time, I got to have two relationships with that fellow. One of those relationships was the instructional expert at the head of the class that everyone else had access to. But the other one was my dad, my father. One relationship was distant, institutional, formal, and the other, personal, informal, deep, and close. When Jesus taught us to pray to our Father, he was telling us we share that personal, informal, deep, and close relationship with our Creator that he also has. Drawing a connection between the eternal God and that Father running down the road to greet his wayward Son. The Creator of the universe not only created us man and woman, but created you, created me, specifically, individually, wonderfully, fearfully, and lovingly. The same God who provides for the turning of the earth, burning of the sun, and the workings and inner workings of all we know and see, and all we don't know and don't see, knows the count of every hair on your head and provides for every need. Our Father wants what any father wants for his children, for us to be healthy and happy, truly happy, not superficially happy like when a child wants to eat nothing but candy, and we know after that brief happiness comes suffering. He wants us to be completely and fully happy, like a father knows that things a child wants that will end up hurting him, God knows which of our desires will bring joy or suffering. And God knows what is good for us and what is not, beyond our own understanding. The Old Testament is full of laws that God's people followed regarding food, hygiene, what not to touch. And only now, with understanding of microorganisms, disease transmission, food spoilage, and other knowledge that they didn't have back then, do we understand why these laws were given to us. They were given to protect us, to keep God's people healthy. And although we know more about these things than the people in the Old Testament, we should never assume to know as much as God. He understands how the things we want and seek after can hurt us now or down the road. He knows how sin will affect us and his other children, and wants to protect us from that suffering, pain, and death. And just like a child asking, "Why not?" when the answer is beyond their understanding, we have to accept God's answer of, "Because I'm your Father," sometimes. Because we cannot fully understand all that he knows. We can understand his intent. We can trust his heart and obey. But God doesn't only desire for us to be happy and healthy and to get along with his other children. That's a whole separate topic, which my wife and I have some insight to now that we've all been shut into the house for a number of weeks. But God also wants us to be close with him, in communion with him. God created Adam and Eve, and he walked with them in the garden. Genesis 3:8 tells us that God himself walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, but their sin separated them from God. But even in the punishment of their sin, as you read that chapter, being cast out of the garden, God's fatherly love can be seen. Adam and Eve covered themselves with leaves to hide their nakedness. But before God sent them out of the garden, he fashioned clothes for them from animal skins. When I read that, it's like when a parent sends a child up to their room for punishment, but hands them a plate of food so they don't go hungry. Although their sin caused them to be cast away from the Father, he wanted to ease their suffering because he still loved them, loves them, loves us, our Father. And the love continued. God continued to intervene in the lives of his children throughout the Old Testament, aiding those who would call on him and obey his word, and promising to create a way to return to him, a way out of the exile from the garden. And he did. He sent Jesus, born of the Father and without sin, to pave the way for us to come back home. And he sent his Spirit to live within us so we can be close, feel his presence. And he still listens and answers us when we call on him, just like he always did, just like he always will. He wants us home. He wants us to be his children, despite our own desire to run our own lives, despite our vain belief that we know what's best for ourselves, and despite our shame when we find out how blind we were to the effects of our own decisions until they come to pass. All of these were experienced by the Son in Jesus' story. But as in all of Jesus' teachings, the example goes so much deeper and truer. Not only did Jesus paint us so well in that Son, and paint our Father so well in that Father, but he laid out the instructions for us to return home. If we are willing to return to God's will as a servant, not as an entitled heir, God will welcome us as his own. A servant. One who does what the master says. If it be tending the field, feeding the animals, cleaning the house, or even preparing the fatted calf for another long-lost child returning home, a servant obeys his master, just as a child should obey his father. This son didn't return home because he ran out of money. He returned home because he realized that life with his father was far better than the life he could create for himself, that he had created for himself. He knew serving his father would provide better than he could provide on his own, and it was the grace and love of the father that restored his place in the family. I'd like to close with this. Have you tried to take your inheritance and create a life of your own? Have you turned from God's will and done your own thing because, hey, it's my life and I know what's best for me? I mean, I'm guilty of that. We all are. But that's not the end. It's not over, and all we have to do is seek God. In the book of James, chapter 4, it says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Or, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasure." And then later in that chapter, it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Just like the father running down the road to greet his returning son, our father will draw close to us if we draw close to him. He'll meet us. Seek his will through prayer and study of the scriptures, through counsel with your brothers and sisters in Christ, who will pray for you and will study the scriptures. Cultivate that relationship with your father in heaven. Talk with him, commune with him, spend time with him. It is the desire of his heart to be close to you. And just as he made us in his image, that really is the desire of our hearts as well. Let's pray together. Father God, again, we come to you thankful for what you have given us. Thankful for the sacrifice of your Son and for the way to come back to you despite our own sin. And Lord, we draw close to you. We ask that you meet us halfway. We ask that you put your arms around us and accept us back into the fold. Lord, that you forgive us, and we know that you do. If there's someone listening today that has not realized this, Lord, I ask that they open their hearts to you. Lord, that they realize that you are their Father, their loving, caring, creating, providing, protecting Father, and that you will always love them and want what's best for them, not just because you're daddy and you said so, but because your heart is for us. And I thank you for that. I pray your blessings on this day and on every day as you always have given us. And Lord, again, I say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Behold a man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom.
God bless you.